Before we kick off tonight's episode, we hope your morning commute is going well. We wanted to take a second to recognize and discuss a tragedy that occurred. This is on Sunday when we're recording. Indiana State, the Sycamore family, taking some tragic losses in what appears to be just a terrible car accident impacting the football team, the community, and Terre Haute in general. So if you are family member, a friend, community, alumni, it doesn't really matter, some way connected to the FCS family in Indiana State, just know that from Jamie, Kyler, Lawrence, Chris, Wyatt, Kelsey, myself, the FCS Fans Nation family, our heart breaks for you this week and moving forward through the season. It's pretty easy to get lost in translation about my team lost, my team won, I hate this fan base, I'm upset, this message board made me upset, but there's always a bigger picture, and that's that we're all humans, and life sometimes is just unfair, and honestly, it just really sucks to get news like this. So just know that our support is with you, our love is with you. Undoubtedly, if GoFundMes or there's ways for us to support the families and the individuals affected, we will be there from FCS Fans Nation, and just know our love is with you. And with that, before we kick off our season 6 initial episode, we hope that if you've been affected by this tragedy deeper, that maybe just this hour can bring you a little bit of comfort and even a glimmer of a smile in a very tragic time. And that, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Love each other, be there for humanity. So with that, we will kick into our initial episode. For Indiana State, we're with you. If there's anything you need, you let us know.
Welcome to the official podcast of FCS Fans Nation with your hosts, Kyler Neal, Matthew Frazee, and Jamie Williams.
FCS Fans Nation, it feels so good to be back. Slim Shady once said, Jamie Williams, Kyler Neal, Matthew Frazee, the off-season episodes are done. Welcome to the inaugural kickoff episode of season 6 of this podcast. Week 0 coming in. Cannot believe over half a decade with you fine gentlemen and the rest of FCS Fans Nation. Welcome, welcome to what is our second year tradition of the over under episode. Oh my goodness, FCS Fans Nation. I know you've just been thinking to yourselves, well, what the heck? How come our fan questions aren't being answered? We will kick right into those episodes throughout the rest of the entire season. Tonight, we're going to do one last fun episode, over or under. A little bit of gambling. And when it comes to gambling, Jamie, are you feeling hot tonight? Or how do you think the dice are going to roll for you, my man, when we go through these questions?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm coming up 7s. Probably going to roll snake eyes.
You're gonna be going for the 2s and the 12s. Boy, the crap staple would like you. Kyler, what do you think, man?
Well, I was already gambling quite a bit today on the golf course. You see this beautiful sunshine face. That's called a sunburn, you jerks. But hey, I sucked ass at golf today, besides 3 holes where we made bets. I won 2 of them. So I got free lunch coming this week. I am not going to get this one, but I just had to give me $100,000 in sales if I make this 40-yard putt, made it. So that was awesome. Dang. And then, you know, I did lose a Happy Gilmore driving contest, missed the ball completely trying to run up to it. So, you know what? I went 2 for 3. I'll take it. That's a successful day in the casino.
That means you beat the house. Get in your hole. Why wouldn't you just go in your hole? Yep.
I got to teach you a little hockey swing so you can do that better in the future. You saw me do it at Topgolf last year.
I did. It was impressive.
Beautiful, beautiful. Who would have thought Topgolf, it seems so close. We just came out of Frisco, and we're working our way to Frisco again, ladies and gentlemen. So tonight's episode, if you guys are listening on your morning commute, whenever you are, is going to be just like last year. We're kicking off with an over-under episode, meaning we're going to be doing some bets on over-under, about 18 to 19 different questions. And I have prepared these for Jamie and Kyler. And we look forward to your guys' feedback in terms of how you think things will go. Moving forward after this episode, we will be operating as normal, in which case we will have the questions from fans on Facebook and Twitter be the guiding light for our podcast. So if you don't follow our FCS Fans Nation pages on Facebook and Twitter, make sure you do so. We are live right now recording on YouTube. Our YouTube subscriptions have eclipsed over 1,000. I think we're over 1,100 now. So thank you so much to everybody who's subscribed and watching on YouTube. We'll do more shameless plugs here at the end. But we will have the over-under slides officially going. So if you're not watching on video, you're missing out a little bit. Jamie, Kyler, let's get this thing rolling. Over-under for the year. And why wouldn't we just start off with the fan base most hate or love the most? Here we go. Presbyterian. I think we involved them last year. We are going to start with our national champions, the NDSU Bison, winning their 9th title in 11 years. And I will ask a simple question. I want to know over or under total 0.5 losses on the season. Also, if losses is spelled wrong on a lot of these slides, that's my fault. And you guys can correct me later. I did double S if it's wrong. I went to community college. So, Jamie, I will ask you first, man, just give me some opinions on what you think about this. And then, of course, your answer as well. What do you think? Total losses to include playoffs. So are the Bison going to be undefeated? What do you think, Jamie?
Well, first off, nice job on the spelling. You know, community college does pay off every now and then.
Woohoo!
So
yeah.
Solid job there. It's funny. You're saying, are they going to go undefeated, basically? I don't see why not. They've got the marker game at home, and I know South Dakota State has had some success there, but I just don't see them winning that 3 times in a row. Going to Arizona, you know, for a normal FCS team, you say, oh, doesn't matter. That's a Power 5 team, even though they stink, but they did lose to Northern Arizona. The funny thing is the 2 games that stick out that they could trip up as road games are South Dakota and Southern Illinois. I don't see much happening there, so long-winded answer, under.
Taking the under for an undefeated Bison team and boring for the rest of the FCS. Kyler, what do you think?
First off, before I answer this, can I just say how freaking annoying is it that this team in the best conference playing a Power 5 team, and we're trying to figure out if they're going to not lose a freaking game? Like, screw you. Screw you, team. Screw you, NDSU.
Yeah, this
you're in the toughest
terrible
conference. You're going to have a tough schedule. You're playing the number 2 team in the nation, a Power 5 team, and we're trying to figure out if you may have a loss or not. I hate you. Here's the deal. North Dakota State, yes, they've had a few undefeated seasons. That is still more rare than it is a normalcy. So what I'm going to say is they are going to have one loss. I don't know who it's going to be. Now, it's going to be extremely tough to beat North Dakota State. They're most likely going to win a national championship. But if I'm going for 15 weeks, because most likely they're going to make it to Frisco, they're probably going to slip up on 1 week. And the whole world is going to say, the dynasty's over. Then they're going to beat the next team by 40 points. Then they're going to run to Frisco. So I'm going to go over at one loss total.
Yeah, Kyler, as a Bison fan, I'm not just trying to be the unbiased Bison admin, but you look at 2013, you look at 2018 and 2019, the undefeated teams. 2013, loaded senior class, Brock Jensen. Those guys started as freshmen, losing to your Eagles there, Kyler, you know, in 2010. And then they were so seasoned to that point. And most people didn't think they could beat Kansas State that year. You know, and they almost lost to you and I. It was a 1-point victory over you and I that year. 2018 seemed to be even more dominant for NDSU, but that was Easton Stick, seasoned vet, so many people back. And 2019, you just have the Trey Lance outlier, which is just huge. I just have so much faith that NDSU is going to win a national title next year. But I'm with Kyler. I think it's a lot more rare, even under the Carson Wentz time and a few other moments, where they don't go undefeated. And SDSU seems to have had their number, and I'm always the cautious one, even if it is Arizona. They brought in a few nice transfers to include their quarterback. So I'll go with the over, and I'll take one loss for NDSU, but I don't think it'll be in the playoffs. So moving forward, guys, I built some really fun ones here, dug into research a little bit. I think Jamie's going to appreciate this because he's the statistical guy. He knows every player, everything. So this next one, as you guys can see, how many running backs will have over 1,500 yards this season? Last year, we had three running backs eclipse 1,500 yards. Pierre Strong, 1,600, 1,600 for Isaiah Afonso. Quay Holmes, just over 1,500. So I set it at 3.5, and I wanted to get your guys' take on this. I was thinking about doing 2.5, but I'm like, you know what? We've got some good rushers. We've got some guys who are injured. Hello, Montana last year, who are coming back. So Kyler, what do you think? Over under from that list. And if you're not watching on YouTube, Malik Grant had 1,347 as the fourth leading rusher last year in the FCS. 3.5, over or under, Mr. Neal?
Well, it's going to be like, we're looking at Isaiah Afonso, right? He may not even play for the first full month of the season. So he, if he was healthy the whole time, I would say, all right, at least we're going to most likely have one. Pierre Strong's gone. Quay Holmes, we'll see under the new system. I'm going to say it's going to be under. I think probably 3 or 2 is a solid bet. But yeah, this one's tough. I could see it going either way, but I'll bet under. Screw it.
Might be good with under there too. And Quay Holmes, I believe, did declare for the NFL draft. So he's out as well. But yep, you always have those outliers who just kind of pop in there. Jamie, I don't know. I'm looking at your face. Are you more confident in this one? Or what do you think there, Jamie?
The reason I looked a little with a little trepidation is because just like last year, you have kind of nailed that line. Because I think I can see 3. I agree with Kyler. Afonso is not going to be 1. Quay Holmes is gone, but Jacob Saylors, I think, will be 1 potentially. So he's 1. He's my wild card. If there's 4, it's him. There's 2 names on this list that I think are going over. One being Kevin Daniels of Northern Arizona, the other being Julio McLaughlin of Youngstown State. The one name that's not on this list that I think is going to do it is Darius Hale of Central Arkansas. He was in the running for the Jerry Rice Award. Is actually who I voted number 1 for it last year. So I'm going to say those 3. Then it's a matter of can either and Isaiah Davis as the number 1 back clearly, or Jacob Saylors as the number 1 back clearly do it. Geno Hess is an interesting one. He's had a couple of good years. So I think he's going to fall just short. So I'm going to just go over and say one of those 2 or 3 guys that I'm not sure of will go over along with the other these 3.
Yeah, the Isaiah Davis coming in there and then what Montana returns makes me want to go over as well. So I'm going to be half glass full here. I won't give much of my opinions because I really want to hear what you guys think, but I'll always give my answer. I'll go over as well. And even if you guys think that some of these are a little bit silly, this is a good season preparation podcast as well. Because right there, you're just learning about how, Isaiah Davis taking over Pierre Strong, and you're going to learn about guys coming back from injury. So these are kind of set up for you to get ready for the season as you're listening to this as we go into week 0. So moving into here we go. I really like this one because I think for one of these teams, you guys are going to be very confident that they're running the table. Montana Grizz and Jackson State combined over or under 0.5 regular season losses. So from these teams, that means both of them would run the table. And I have no, most of you guys think one of them is for sure. And one of them has a very favorable schedule. So starting with you, Jamie, over under undefeated Grizz and Jackson State combined regular season.
I'm going to go ahead and just take the over pretty much right away on that one. And this is zero disrespect to Montana, who's going to be the team I have losing a game. I don't know to whom, but I think Montana's going to drop a game. I also said in my ranking 1 through 130 podcast a few weeks ago that I do think Montana could potentially wind up in Frisco. So I do see potentially a loss there. Jackson State plays probably the 122nd ranked schedule. Their big game that they're hyped up for is Campbell, because they want to see who has the better recruiting class or something. I'm going to tell you, though, they better watch out for Tennessee State. Eddie George is building something there. He's got a transfer quarterback from Austin Peay, Draylen Ellis, who led that team to the playoffs in 2019. So do not sleep on Tennessee State. I don't think Jackson State just trounces everyone. They'll get another tough bid from FAMU if they play this year. Of course, they do right away.
Yeah, right away.
Orange Blossom Classic, I think that one's called. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody will correct me. So they start off with two tough games in a row, Florida A&M and Tennessee State. They get past those two unbeaten. They're going to run the table, and they might not be within 14 points of anybody else the rest of the way.
Interesting, interesting. And yeah, maybe we're destroying some preseason narratives in this pod as well, because people are high on both of these squads. Kyler, adamant no, I heard it right away. Tell me why.
Yeah, here's the deal. If I was picking North Dakota State to lose a game, I'm definitely going to pick Montana or Jackson State to lose a game somewhere in the season. I mean, these are two giant programs, giant fan bases. They're kind of the face of their current conferences right now, right? Every single team who's going to play either one of these is going to give them their best shot. So it's not just one of those. Are these teams very elite compared to their conference? It looks like it. Could they run the conference? It looks like they totally can. But every single game during the season, the opponent is going to give them their toughest matchup or prep a little bit more because of all this preseason love, because of Dion, because of the Grizz. So, yeah, I do think one or two of them, maybe even both programs, are going to slip up at least once in the season. They're both going to finish extremely strong. And, yeah, if I had to pick which one's most likely going undefeated, probably Jackson State, right? They have the talent we've never seen at this level. They don't have the most difficult schedule. But I could see them dropping a game. I could see Montana dropping a game. So, yeah, I'm going to say, especially when you put them combined, give me the over. We're at least going to see 1 to 2 losses, probably minimum.
All right. It's great. You guys have been wrong on everything so far because it's going to be under. Grizz running the table. Here they go. They might meet SFA in the semifinals, which is Kyler's team. So we'll see how it all plays out. By the way, drugs are bad. Okay. Jamie and I rocking some Last Stand hats of SFA. Thank you again to Dustin Helton, the Rev. Some beautiful hats. Kyler, his favorite Sun Belt team, and NCAA football 2024 team, rocking the JMU hat.
FBS Fans Nation.
Yeah. Moving up to G5. All right, guys, keeping it going with our bets here. A solo player gets 17 solo sacks. So a player gets 17 solo sacks. As you can see from last year, I have split the difference here. Isaiah Land from Florida A&M. Coming back this year to FAMU, 18 sacks last year. And James Houston from Jackson State had 16. So there you go. A guy with 18 sacks last year, a guy with 16 this year. Are we going to see, you can go over, under, or you can push. You can do the push here. 17 sacks. Kyler, what do you think? I remember last year we did this with like interceptions and stuff, and it was quite the fun discussion. So what do you got?
Man, 17 sacks in a season. That is just insane. Averaging more than a sack a game. But I still think it's doable. That's one of the things. It seems like such an insane stat, but it's a stat that's doable. I'm going to go... It's either the push or the over. Oof, man, this is tough. I'm just going to go over. Defense wins championships. Sacks win all day long. We're going to get sacks for lunch. Sack sandwiches. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, let's go over. Someone's going to hit 19 this year just to prove Matthew Frazee wrong.
Ooh, 19.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Should have done 18.5. Jamie, are you feeling as confident as Kyler is?
No. I don't think I am. I think I'm going to go with the under on this one. Super impressive by both of those guys. Both extremely talented. Land won the Buchanan Award, and as you see, rightfully so. He definitely comes off the edge hard and strong, and he's going to put up a big number, but I'm sure he's going to get a lot more chips from tight ends this year. I just don't see it. I think 15, 16 is probably the ceiling for this year for the solo sack conversation. Still really impressive. Still going to catch my eye. I got a couple of CAA guys because, you just can't quit it. But Nate Lynn, William and Mary, Josiah Silver, New Hampshire. I know I've said those names a lot over the offseason, but I'm looking at both of those guys. I think one of those guys leads the country in sacks this year.
Very exciting. I'll go the under as well. 18 is ridiculous. That is so many solo sacks. And the you know, I didn't even include assisted sacks and all that, but I think that's such a high number. But I like I'll definitely do the under as well. But we'll see we'll see if Kyler's optimism plays out here. All right, guys. We did this one last year. We're gonna do it every year. So how many FCS over FBS victories are going to happen in 2022? The over-under is 6.5. There's reasoning behind this. Now, last year, we had quite the outlier. On the screen on YouTube, if you're watching, you're seeing 12 upsets where FCS teams beat FBS squads. What a super awesome outlier year, and that's great. Always fear the FCS. It's great. The thing is that over the last 5 years, it's an average of 6.6 victories for FCS over FBS opponents. So take the 0.6 for what it's worth. Maybe that's a few overtime games, but really there's only about six in the last half decade that we average. So making my over-under line pretty simple here. Over-under 6.5 for FCS over FBS victories. And since you are FBS for your main love, your main squeeze, Jamie, there, of James Madison. You're first. What do you think?
I think it's good to go over. I haven't really looked too hard at the schedule this year, but I'm sure UMass and UConn play somebody. So just crank up two there. Let's give NDSU theirs. So you're halfway there at that point. You know, maybe somebody like Florida Atlantic plays somebody, or Florida International. Those teams are terrible. Maybe they play somebody. So there's a path there. I think we'll see it. You know, there's always a couple that make your jaw drop. So I'm going to go over.
Going confident. What do you think, Kyler? Do you think the same thing? I know you're talking about the gap getting bigger in between college football and recruiting. Do you think we see the impacts of that with an over or under 6.5 victories over the FBS?
Well, let's see here. The good news is the FBS still has the MAC, and they still have Conference USA. So, you know, that always helps our FCS odds. And I don't know how many of those teams are playing the FCS. But I'm going to pick the over, and there's a few main reasons why. I think the transfer portal is actually changing things. So, you know, I may have had a different opinion two seasons ago where I thought the FBS gap was getting a little bit larger. I actually don't think it's getting larger, especially with the transfer portal. What was there over or close to 500 FBS dropdowns to the FCS? Obviously, some of them are going to be all, you know, some of them are going to be talented. They just needed to find a home. Some of them are probably going to be bust. Some of them we'll never talk about. But when we have 500 players that were FBS dropping down to the FCS, you would just assume that the talent gap is closing. We're seeing Campbell do some amazing things in recruiting. We're seeing Stephen F. Austin. We're seeing Jackson State. We're seeing North Dakota State. All these teams are starting to not just grab a few guys that a P5 team's wanting or a G5 team's wanting. A lot of the players that they're going after have multiple offers and they're choosing to play FCS. So, you know what? I like the over. I'm going to go over.
Let's just go with a clean sweep because, you know, optimism is good. I'm going to go with the over as well. We're going to get some victories. I think those ones Jamie mentioned earlier are definitely going to be going the way of the FCS. So very excited to see how that all plays out. And I'm very excited to see how a team many folks are high on, Kennesaw State and Xavier Shepherd, their quarterback. We'll see how this goes. I want to know how many sacks taken will Xavier Shepherd have this year, over under 7.5. So this is an interesting stat. Kennesaw State in 13 games last year gave up 6 sacks total because they run the triple option like crazy. And they actually passed a lot more than they do in years past. Last year, they threw the ball 133 times for 1,300 yards. So they're not going to throw the ball a lot. It's going to be a lot of trickery. It's going to be a lot of quick pass. And Xavier Shepherd is only sacked 6 times. Good offensive line for the conference that Kennesaw plays in. And Xavier runs the ball a lot. So, Kyler, this is an oddball one. What do you think? Do you think he can actually take just as few sacks as he did last year?
No. He's not in the Big South anymore. He's going to play in the A-Sun. The A-Sun is a more difficult conference for sure. He's going to be playing better teams. And it seems like he's getting a little more comfortable throwing the ball, right? If you're getting a little more comfortable throwing the ball, that means you may be waiting a little bit more for openings. So we're going to see probably there's going to be a few sacks on him trying to extend a play, looking downfield, because that's what happens for quarterbacks. But yeah, being in a tougher conference, throwing the ball a little bit more, while still being an option quarterback, you're probably going to take some hits behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah, give me the over on that.
Wow. You know, I was thinking about going the under, and that was honestly a very well thought out argument. So, Jamie, change my mind or make me concur with Kyler, dude.
Nope, I'm taking the over. I mean, they play Cincinnati also.
Oh, so yes.
I think you're probably looking at 3 or 4 right there. Jacksonville State, they've got a good defensive line. They play Central Arkansas. They play Tennessee Martin, who has a decent defense. I think it's an over, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I think you're going to look at a big, big season from Xavier Shepherd, but he's going to get dropped a few more times than previous. So I'll take the over by a decent amount.
See, even when it's an easy guess for everybody and everyone's rolling their eyes in their cars right now, you learned a little something. Who would have thought that he only took 6 sacks last year and that we have a little bit of difference in their conference play? So very informative here on the FCS Fans Nation podcast. Guys, we have quarterbacks as Walter Payton finalists as our next question. Jamie, he looked to the heavens here. Over or under 1.5 for the finalists, Jamie, correct me if I'm wrong, the finalists, there's 3 people who are considered finalists. So you are basically going to be here picking between whether 2 or 1 individual are quarterbacks when it comes to Walter Payton finalists. On the screen on YouTube, you will see the winners of the Walter Payton Award all the way back to 2003, which was the first non-quarterback besides Cooper Kupp in 2015. Jamal Branch of Colgate in 2003 took it as running back. Besides that, it's QBs everywhere who won it, but I want to know finalists. Jamie, you are one of the most knowledgeable humans in the stats poll in the country for FCS Walter Payton's. Go ahead. What do you think? Over under 1.5 for finalist of QBs.
Well, first I looked down 2004. Lane Campbell steals bicycles. People will understand that. Well, maybe not because Jamie, people are gone. But there we go. We'll start there. He sucks. I think this is an easy over. It's a quarterback world. Most of the semifinalists are going to be quarterbacks. You'll have 3 or 4 stud running backs. You'll have 3 or 4 solid receivers. But when it comes down to it, they're going to invite 2 quarterbacks and probably a running back. And one of the quarterbacks is probably going to win it, as evidenced by the list you have there. So yeah, over.
I'm going to definitely take the under because I think that we lost a lot of quarterback firepower last year. And I think Cole Kelly's gone and EB3's gone. Yeah, people fill roles, but I think we're kind of in an outlier. A QB is probably going to win it, but I'm going to go the under. I think you could see maybe a Xavier Gibson from SFA come. You know, he's already got the spotlight on him now. How about maybe some of these great running backs we've discussed already? So I'm going to think a wide receiver, a running back, and a QB. QB probably wins it. So, Kyler, what do you think?
Well, I mean, Eastern Washington's probably going to have 2 QBs alone as a finalist this season. Yeah. So,
Gunner talking.
Just playing the odds here. No, I mean, when haven't? Of course, you don't see the other finalists on here, but when hasn't there been at least 2 quarterback finalists? You know, I know 2021, 2020. 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015. They're all probably at least 2 quarterbacks. Safe bet is just to go over, but I do like Matt's reasoning, and it's not a very good QB year, at least in the FCS, in the grand scheme of things. That's probably going to change because quarterbacks always rise to the occasion, but it seems like such a bleh year for QBs, and I know it's not the case, but we don't have some of those giant names that we've had in the past that are going to put some monster numbers, but it's still a QB award. I don't know why they don't name this, you know, Walter Payton, you've been an awesome running back. You've done your thing, but they really need to change this to maybe the Tony Romo Award, the Steve McNair Award, the Eric Berrier, whatever, just Eastern Washington Award, whatever you want to do. So yeah, I'm going to go over. I think probably two out of the three.
Matt, I like your thought on Xavier Gibson. My fear is that him and Trace Hell split votes.
That's fair. Yeah, just to bounce off Kyler, you know, like NDSU, Cam Miller's great and Gronowski's great and you got all these guys. Xavier Shepard's great, but, you know, are they going to throw for 5,000 yards, you know, 4,500 yards? I don't know. You know, you make some mistakes in the passing game and you have to rely on your feet quite a bit. And those teams have good running games. Could see some outliers here, but we'll have to see. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, worked in 19, right? No interceptions. That's a big key. All right, guys. Amos and the rest of the crew, I had to throw NCAA&T in here, and they're probably pissed right off the bat. They're watching on YouTube. They go, oh, thanks, Matt. Over, under, loss total, 4.5. But here's the thing. We did NCAA&T in terms of over, under for their finishing spot in the Big South last year. And they did not have a great showing from what we expected. So I want to see if we're in recovery mode with NCAA&T. How are you guys feeling with this upcoming schedule they have? They're playing the future champions of Campbell, you know. Looking across their schedule, I felt like I could identify, you know, three or four you'd feel pretty confident could be losses. But this will be interesting. And on YouTube, their schedule's pulled up. Kyler, starting with you, what do you think about our amazing Aggie fans over under losses 4.5?
Well, Kennesaw left. Monmouth left. And looking at this schedule, I see two losses for sure. North Dakota State and Duke. Those are my two losses I see for sure. Then, you know, South Carolina State.
Yeah, South Carolina State.
There's some potential, but I think NCAA&T, they've proven themselves year after year when they're playing, you know, MEAC teams. They pretty much dominate them. Edward Waters, that's going to be a tough one. So we'll have to see what happens there. Yeah, I think it's going to be under. I think, you know, two losses is probably a guarantee. Three losses is potential. I don't see more than three losses on this schedule.
Yeah, it really kind of emphasizes how it you know, the back half of the schedule especially is not super difficult for them, and they have some good home games. Jamie, I'm also going to go with the under here because I got more faith in them. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely under. If you just set it at 3.5, I might have thought about the over. But I mean, I think they start 1-3 and then run the table because I'm a big South Carolina State, just the way that Buddy Poe coaches that team. They'll be ready to go. I mean, A&T usually in the MEAC would find somebody to lose to, like Morgan State. So they'll trip up, but I don't see five losses on this schedule. They should actually probably run the table in conference. They'll just lose their out-of-conference games.
Yeah, they could be pretty brutal in the beginning, but could be good in the end. Of course, maybe we'll see an upset happen. You never know. All right, guys, here you go. Jackson State attendance over under. So, of course, Jackson State, rightfully so, likes to blast JMU and blast NDSU and others for not having fans sell out their games. Jackson State, this is according to their website. Their stadium, according to their own website, holds 44,215 people. Last year's attendance average, 42,293 people from Athlon and Hero Sports sources. So we have about 200 people, or no, I'm sorry, we have about 2,000 people that could close the gap to make it a complete sellout. So last year's attendance number, 42,293, the over-under, 42,293.5 average fans at Jackson State's home games. What do you think, Jamie? Are we selling this sucker out?
I think so. Just the Dion excitement, the number one recruit, the big year last year, more expectation this year. Now, that's not a fair weather fan base by any stretch of the imagination. But the people that were always on the fence that made that number not completely 100% sellout will be there now. I think they'll sail past it and go see the team that they'll probably get bored with watching them win by 30.
Yeah, it's going to be a complete party down there. I'm definitely taking the over. Kyler, over under.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the rare things when we look at a state that has multiple Power Five teams, an Ole Miss and Mississippi State, right? I think Jackson State is the biggest draw in town right now. They're getting the most publicity. They're the biggest draw. There's, you know, there's some sexiness to Dion, some sexiness in getting the number one overall recruit. When was the last time Mississippi State or Ole Miss ever got a number one overall recruit in the last 10 years? Probably no. Yeah, I think I think they're going to do a fantastic job. That 42,000 is insane. That but is yeah, crazy. I actually think it's going to be dang near close to selling out, if not selling out every single game. So yeah, give me the over on that. It's going to only improve.
Yeah, 42,293. You just need 294, and we win the bet, and we move on with our betting day. So good on you, Jackson State. It's good for the whole FCS. All right, last year, the chaos, as the Missouri Valley was graced with six playoff teams. They are shown on the screen on YouTube here. So the Missouri Valley teams in the playoffs for this season, over under 5.5. Seems easy to go under. It really does. It seems easy to be like, okay, we'll give it five. But then you think about some of the heavy hitters who've left the FCS and what could be left out there, strength of schedules. The Valley seems to get a little bit of a bump. So what do you think there, Kyler? Over or under Missouri Valley, 5.5 playoff teams this year?
Man.
I was going to set it at 4.5, but even that seemed, I was like, that seems almost easier.
Yeah. So definitely if it was 4.5, I would have just hit the over because it's going to be five or six. So I think you picked a good spread. It's going to be five or six. Missouri State avoids North Dakota State, right? And the Petrinos over there, they're building something solid. South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Missouri State, you would assume those are going to be locks. Southern Illinois the last few years has been building something special. They seem like they're still on the momentum upswing. South Dakota, they've been on the upswing. They're building something special down there too. Can they keep it up? I'm not sure. And then you have Northern Iowa, who is always a consistent 20 to 30 team, typically a playoff team, even if they're 6-5.
Oh, this one's tough. It's really like if you take out, I mean, Northern Iowa makes it so difficult because you just want to discount them in case they're going to be bad. And then, of course, they're a game over 500 and they get placed in there. It makes it very difficult.
I'm going to say under just because one of these teams is going to slip up a few times. I'm going to say under. Six is pretty crazy. And yes, it's happened with the CA. Yes, it's happened with the Missouri Valley. But six teams is pretty tough to think it's going to continue. So give me five. I think five is what they're going to hit no matter what. But yeah, this one was tough, Matt. Give me the under.
Good, good. Jamie, is it tough for you or no?
A little tough, but I'm going to stick with the under. I'm going to agree with Kyler there for a couple reasons. South Dakota, man, there's some talent there, but good grief is their schedule brutal. They just hit the wrong year to have a talented team and had the schedule not match up. Northern Iowa, they're going to be a team that you're going to look at and say, oh, wow, they're heading for the playoffs, and then they're going to wind up on the bubble most likely, and that's just because their schedule. Here's their finishing kick. Home against Missouri State, at Southern Illinois, home against South Dakota State, at South Dakota. Ooh. Do not envy that finishing stretch. If they can get two of those, they're probably a playoff team. If they don't, then we'll see. But I'm going to have to go with the under. There's two teams in the middle make me nervous.
Yeah, that's the right word. I kind of said you guys made all my points for me. I appreciate it, and I'm going to go with the under. However, crazier things have happened. All right, guys. Okay, so this is kind of emphasized my point from earlier. Mark Gronowski, Cam Miller, and Tommy Touchdown, the quarterbacks of SDSU, NDSU, and Montana State, rushing touchdowns over or under 25.5. In 2021, they ran for 21 combined touchdown runs. I should emphasize that a little bit. Mark Gronowski obviously nabbed his stuff from the spring season and brought that into what Tommy Touchdown and Cam Miller did last year. So Gronowski is healed and healthy now from his ACL. So I combined his spring season with the other two just to kind of emphasize that, yeah, we have some good throwers of the ball, but they play within some systems where they like to run them. But they don't like to overrun these guys. So if combined between Gronowski and the other two, we had 21, do you think with the full season with all three, it's going to be over 25.5? Or could it be under? How will these guys be utilized? What do you think there, Kyler?
Man, I hope none of them get injured. But when you have these types of quarterbacks who are running the ball consistently and constantly, and they each have injuries in their past, I'm going to go with the under. Even though we only saw Tommy touchdown play for, you know, 3.5 games or whatever, we didn't see Gronowski play at all in the fall. And then Miller, he was up and down, right, throughout the season. So give me the under, because we don't even know if Montana State, if that is their starting quarterback. Little bit of interesting talk right there.
Ooh.
We don't even know. There's another guy in there who may be taking some of the reps. So yeah, give me the under. But if they all stay healthy, that there's potential to hit that number. But when you have these running quarterbacks, again, don't wish ill will of them. Hopefully they can stay healthy. They're going to get dinged up and probably miss a few games.
Yeah, I think it could land right around the just over 21, which is exactly why I set the line. I will go slightly under with not a lot of confidence. Jamie, what do you think, though? You got more faith in the mobility of these guys?
I have faith in the mobility, but I'm going to take the under and really not sweat too much about it, I don't think. I think Gronowski has a lot of weapons, and then coming off an injury, they're not going to want him to run nearly as much as he might otherwise run. But you got the Yonke twins, you got Tucker Kraft, you got Davis. So there's weapons all over the field for them. So I think they're going to spread that ball around. Touchdown Tommy. I mean, he's got Infante. The more I look at that team, the more I see a regression. Kyler said it months ago, and I thought he was kind of crazy, but the more I look at it, he might be crazy, but he's not crazy about that. Cam Miller, I think he's probably the fourth option to carry the ball on that team. Stud running backs, enough on the outside. He's probably going to be the one with the most rushing touchdowns, though, with the three. I don't think they get anywhere close to 25.
Very interesting. Not a lot of faith in the rushing, but that might not be a bad thing. There's a variety of reasons, of course. All right, guys, last kind of long-winded one here, and then I'm going to bounce the last remaining six in between each of you in kind of like a quick hit section. But here you go. The stats top 25 preseason teams that won't finish top 25. So this is last year. This is last year's top 25. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see that there were 12 teams exactly that at year's end did not finish in the final poll. So looking at it, there was four in the top 10 that were wrong. There was another five within the next 10 through 20 that would make it. And then you've got some on the back end as well. So guys, at over under 12.5, Jamie, I have to throw this to you. You're a stats voter. You do the rankings 1 through 130, which nearly 7,000 people have watched on YouTube alone. So they love your opinions. This year's stats top 25. We going over or under 12.5 that are wrong initially?
I have faith in my fellow voters, even though that doesn't show it. I think it's going to be under, probably somewhere in the 8 to 10 range. I'm looking at the top 25 now. Obviously, there'll be teams that you don't expect to fall that just have a terrible season. I mean, look at Delaware. I know they were coming off of a semifinal, and it was a spring season. Five was probably a touch high for them, but Nolan Henderson was hurt most of the year, so they felt like a rock. Weber State played 84 different quarterbacks. So anything can happen, but I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under and see what happens from there.
I like your mentality there. I'm going to go with under as well, because I think because with the movement of some of the big folks moving on, and I think with like your turnovers at Southeastern Louisiana and your Eastern Washington QB situation, I think some of these stable into one teams in the top 25 can actually just stick around quite a bit. It doesn't really make sense as an argument, but it just feels that way. Kind of like how I felt with the Walter Payton and the QB thing. So I'll take the under as well, and I'll have faith in your voters, Jamie, that we have a pretty good top 25 preseason poll. Kyler, ye of little faith, or you think Jamie's spot on?
Yeah, I'm looking at the top 25 right now, and I'm noticing about 10 that I have question marks that could potentially finish below that top 25. And I would assume some of them are going to prove me wrong, because I think some of them are trash, and they're not going to be trash. And then I think some teams are going to be good who are going to be trash. So we'll just play. I think there's probably about 9 to 10 teams that are going to have some movement. So, yeah, I have to go with the under on this one.
All right. We're having faith that the poll voters know what they're doing, and it's going to be a good one. Guys, we're going to move into some quick hits here. I'll bounce it back and forth to you. If I could just get a one word over under from the other person, unless you have some passion behind it. But Jamie, I'll start with you, man. You can dive in a little bit more detail with FCS punt slash kick returner touchdowns over under 2.5. Okay. Will anybody in the FCS, anybody, have either three punt return touchdowns or three kick return touchdowns? On the screen last year, we had four individuals tie at the top with two kick return touchdowns. We had three individuals tie at the top for punt return touchdowns, all having two. So will anybody get a third, either kick or punt, as an individual? What do you think?
Let's go over. Why not? Somebody will get to three this year. I don't know who it is, but, you know, Montrell Washington and Rashid Shaheed are both gone, and they only had two, so maybe it's a fool's bet, but I'll say Isaiah Bolden does it.
Dustin or Mr. I'm forgetting that guy's name. The guy from the Bears. Maybe we need one of them. Devin Hester. Kyler, over under there.
Under.
Taking the under. All right, Kyler, this one's for you. Here you go. Non-Big Three conferences with an at-large qualifier over or under 3.5. Okay, so this seems a little confusing. I'll just repeat it here. But we have the automatic berths for conference champions, right? And then we have at-large qualifiers, of course. Well, last year, we had the Big Sky, the CA, and the Missouri Valley. As of right now, this could change. People consider that the Big Three conferences, right? Those three had at-large qualifiers. There was only three other conferences that got at-large qualifiers. The Southland Conference got Southeastern Louisiana. The SWAC got Florida A&M. And the WAC got Stephen F. Austin. So three other conferences got at-large qualifiers. I'm getting tongue-tied here. Do you think that there's four non-Big Three conferences that have an at-large? Or do you think it's push or less? What do you think?
Well, when are we going to change this to non-Big Two?
Yeah, so it's subject to change next year. Yeah, the CAA is likely dropping
out. Look at that bum conference.
For now, I just want to go with the Big Sky, CAA, and Missouri Valley. Yeah.
Fair enough. Let me go. Let's see. The WAC Sun, they're still sharing a bid, right? So I'm going to go the WAC Sun, the SoCon. I do think the SWAC will get another team in there, even though it didn't look too pretty for Florida A&M last year. I do think they're probably going to get one more team in there this year. And then, yeah, potentially, I don't see a second one from the Southland this year. Ooh, that's tough because I have three. Oh, man.
Yes, exactly what I was aiming for.
Yeah, you know what? Let's go over. Let's go that sixth team from the Missouri Valley that I did not pick gets sent to one of these other conferences. The Ohio Valley or something gets that other one. So, yeah, let me go in. I'll take the over at four.
All right, Jamie, over or under? What do you think? Jamie has taken the under. All right, guys, we have new teams in the FCS over or under 11.5 total wins. Jamie, you talked about these teams being kind of at the bottom of your rankings for the top 130. The Stonehill Skyhawks, Lindenwood Football, and Texas A&M Commerce, the Lions. What do you think? Total combined, are these teams going to be capable to get over 11.5 wins, over or under, my man?
I think you're going to have to lean on Lindenwood and Commerce to get those. I don't see much from Stonehill, although I'm sure they play some D2 teams. I'm going to go under. It's a big jump. You don't realize what the jump is from D2 to the FCS. I just don't see it this year. Definitely potential with Commerce and Lindenwood in the future, but I'm going to go under.
Going with the under. Okay, I'm switching it. I'm going right back to you here, Jamie, with the next one. And then, Kyler, I'm coming to you after that, okay? Because you guys you'll have a little bit more connection to these next questions. So here we go. This is a roulette-style bet. Spin the wheel, red or black. The SoCon or the CAA, Jamie Williams, who gets more playoff teams this year? Last year, the SoCon had the automatic bid of ETSU. And last year, the CAA had James Madison and an at-large and Villanova as the auto bid. So two from the CAA last year, one from the SoCon. All right, Kevin, you better be ready. Here we go. Jamie, you're taking the SoCon or the CAA? Spin the wheel. What do you think?
CAA, and I'm not sure it's close. I think the SoCon has a bunch of teams that could make it, but they're not going to get more than two. I see Delaware, Richmond, Villanova, and then one of William & Mary, Rhode Island for sure getting in this year. I think they get four.
Already taking the CAA to continue. Wow, four would be a big, big jump. So proud of the old CAA there.
It's insane for the NAC to get four teams. NAC caliber programs. Whew.
We'll have to see how it plays out. I love it. Kyler, here you go. This one's more related to you, and then we have one final one after this, guys. Total offense, touchdowns, and yards per game. Okay, so over under combined, a team will have 75.5 touchdowns and 552.5 yards per game. Why would you come up with these random stats? Well, that's because last year, Eastern Washington had 75 offensive touchdowns and averaged 554.5 yards per game. And Southeastern Louisiana had 76 offensive touchdowns and averaged 551.8 yards per game. So I split it in the middle. What do you think, Kyler? Will an offense in the FCS combined, it has to hit both, have over or under 75.5 touchdowns and 552.5 yards per game? What do you think?
I'm going to say under. Those two numbers are insane historic numbers with quarterbacks, Walter Payton Award-winning quarterbacks, somewhat of a favorable schedule for one as well. I think the offense in general in the FCS landscape this year is going to be a little regressed. Not saying they're going to be bad, but there's going to be a little bit of regression. We were already saying we don't see a lot of sexy quarterback names coming in. So you need a really strong quarterback to even get to those numbers. You're not going to do it running the ball. It's too many yards, too many touchdowns. You need a quarterback who's going to be throwing the ball, scoring extremely fast. And I don't see it, especially from any of those three teams that are mentioned on this screen. Eastern Washington, got to replace Eric Berrier. Really tough schedule. Southeastern Louisiana, not a tough schedule. But is their backup Cole Kelly? Probably not. I don't think he's 6'7". So, and then Presbyterian, they were really bad versus Division I opponents. But that coach who decided punting is illegal is no longer with them because it was a failed experiment. So, I mean, we're looking at the third most potent offense last year. Yes, they were really bad versus D1 programs. But the third most potent offense last year didn't even come close to your metrics. And then the other two aren't going to hit it either. So, yeah, give me the under significantly on this one.
We're learning a lot through all this. That is great. All right, guys, final one we have here. I might take this one off your hands. FCS Fans Nation Network YouTube subscribers at the year's end. We just eclipsed over 1,100 YouTube subscribers. We ran a bunch of contests. We announced that contest on our last offseason podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who participated. We sent out Northern Alabama Lions flags. We sent out Grambling tumblers. We sent out Montana State t-shirts. We sent out swag all over the nation to people as they hit certain thresholds, and we crossed 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thank you so much. If you guys are listening on Apple or Spotify, we still appreciate you and love you. It doesn't matter how you listen to this podcast. We just appreciate it. So over under 1,999.5 subscribers by year's end. Jamie, we're going to blow this sucker out of the water. What do you think?
Way over, buddy. Way over.
Way over.
People are coming to us. We're going over.
Let's do it. If you're listening on anything besides YouTube, continue to do so. But if you have a YouTube account, just look up FCS Fans Nation Network, click subscribe, and that's it. Don't even need to watch on there. It just helps us out so we can provide you guys even better content. Speaking of good content, before we get out of here, guys, unlike the out-of-conference schedules, we have a game to predict. So, my beautiful gentlemen, we haven't used any of these over the summer months. It's time to use at least one of our little banner clips. It's time for the game of the week.
This is the matchup you should be paying attention to. This is the FCS Fans Nation game of the week.
I have no idea whose extremely sexy voice that is. It's definitely not edited in any way. But Kelsey's. Kelsey's. Here is your game of the week, guys. We have Jacksonville State this coming Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Central Time, traveling to Stephen F. Austin, who Jamie and myself are pretty high on. Kyler is high on, but not as high. Don't do drugs, kids. Here you go. Jacksonville State traveling to Stephen F. Austin for the Revs team. Big matchup. Stephen F. Austin ranked number 10. JSU not eligible to be ranked, but still should be a pretty good squad. I will start with you, Kyler. What do you think? Do you think the Gamecocks or the Lumberjacks come out on top with a score prediction?
Well, it's going to be a home game for Jacksonville State. I like how it says at Stephen F. Austin. That's not true. This is going to be a home game for Jacksonville State. So good job, FCS page. But Jacksonville State, they're adding scholarships. They had quite a bit of talent drop down. I don't even know if it's dropped down anymore because they're transitioning, right? But they had some really good talent transfer over to them. They got rid of a coach who we all thought was pretty stagnant in the play calling and didn't really elevate the program. They got a very experienced coach in Rich Rod, right? So I like the odds for Jacksonville State to go in there, beat SFA. They beat them last year with not as talented as a roster that I think they have coming in this year. So, yeah, give me Jacksonville State. Give me the Gamecocks. They're going to win their very last opening weekend game for the FCS.
Interesting. Jamie, you agree or no?
You know, I don't make a proclamation like I did on Twitter earlier last week about SFA being a semifinal team. I don't put on this lovely last stand SFA hat if I'm going to pick Jacksonville State. So I'm going to go with the Lumberjacks, bring out the axe, bring out the chainsaw, bring out Xavier Gibson, bring out Trey Self, bring out a top 10 offense, a top 20 defense. That's right. They were in the top 20 in both last year. Everybody returns. Lumberjacks roll.
Lumberjacks, and that's where my prediction is going to go as well. I think it's one of those games where Jacksonville State actually starts out a little strong. I think I'll give them like maybe a 13-3 lead or something. Everyone goes, oh, I thought SFA was supposed to be good. And at the end, they prove them right. I'll take SFA to win the game 24-20. Some cool, fun little classic. So we'll get right off the bat. We'll be able to debate that next week. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just listened to the inaugural episode of the FCS Fans Nation podcast. Whether you're on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, we appreciate you. If you've just found us, subscribe on any of those platforms. Additionally, this is super huge. Our podcast will always be predicated and will always be ran by our fans' questions and interaction on our Facebook and Twitter pages. So if you don't follow FCS Fans Nation on Facebook or Twitter, it's not just a shameless plug. We need you there because we will post every Saturday evening, hey, toss us questions. And we always get great ones, whether it's from Amos, whether it's from Jeremiah, from SIU. We get some great fan questions, and we're able to actually guide the podcast through so you guys get to hear what you want. If you're on Twitter or Facebook and you hate our content because we don't talk about your team, just ask a question, and it's guaranteed to be in here. It's going to be quick hit questions. Could be a Big Seven question, but we will talk about it. So we just want you guys to ask them. Typically, it gets really full, but we're willing to take anything, and we will run with it, even if you're asking us about tailgate food. Besides that, we will have a normal slate of things coming up for you guys. We're going to have the playoff competition this year. We're going to be giving merch giveaways. We're going to be having the game threads going to be dropping for interaction on the page. We're going to be having contests. Will we be having a pick 'em contest this year? We are going to get that figured out this week. And if so, of course, we'll put an announcement up on the page. That being said, Jamie Williams, some final thoughts before we roll into week zero and end our first episode of season 6. I can't believe it.
All I can say is, folks, we've made it. Football season is back. Also, keep your eyes peeled on Facebook, Twitter, on all of our platforms. Whenever the tickets go on sale, look for where we're going to purchase our tickets to be in Rainbow Row. If you want to join us, sit near us, come by and say hi. Let Kyler buy you a beer that he won't remember Monday. That might happen. Maybe Cameron will do it. Want to buy Kyler a beer? Feel free to do that, too. He does not discriminate. It doesn't matter what kind of beer it is. So feel free to join us in Frisco. If you have the opportunity, please make the trip. Looking forward to meeting more of you FCS Fans Nation fans.
Yeah, that is the best part of the trip. Well said, Jamie. Rainbow Road is what we've designated as. It's I think Super Mario Kart is where we're stealing that from a little bit back in the day. little bit of throwback, but basically it's just awesome to see a variety of colors of fans, from purple to red to blue to yellow. Just awesome. So if you can make the trip to Frisco, we will be tweeting out where we're going to be sitting. So buy tickets, same spots as us. Kyler, final thoughts for the pod and our FCS family out there?
It is football season, which means everyone has the ability to call me biased, call me a false analyst. Anything you want to do, I'm here for it. Guys, it's football season. Huck it, chuck it, football. We're excited. It's going to be a fun season. It's going to suck when NDSU wins it all, but it is what it is. Yeah, shucks. Shucks, darn. Matt. You and your mustache, shucks.
Idaho Vandals and SFA. Yeah, I don't even think I'll wear Bison gear all year this year, you know?
We'll mix Lakers it up. Colors, man.
Shirt with that mask mustache. Now it's explained.
Oh, man. Yeah, facial hair will be gone next week. I have to say, I am going to be, I might be in Vegas for our next podcast next week, but the podcast after that, an awesome fan, and I'll keep this quiet, an awesome fan from FCS Fans Nation is sending me some of their team's gear just because they want it on the podcast. So I'm excited to rock that, and maybe we'll throw out some guesses next week for you guys to think of who I'll be rocking in 2 weeks. So should be
Incarnate
pretty
Word.
Incarnate Word. Used to drive by them at some time in San Antonio. Nice campus. Yeah, all right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the FCS Fans Nation podcast. I cannot wait to drop boom after boom after boom all the way down, hidey-ho, down to Frisco. We are kicking off this weekend. Can't wait for it. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you guys next week. Boom.
Thank you for listening to the FCS Fans Nation podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast on your preferred listening platform, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Google, or even YouTube. And make sure to follow our FCS Fans Nation social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you for listening to the premier podcast for FCS football. Boom.
I need to go get something to crack.
This is the first podcast I am not drinking a beer.